This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring trial consultant and body language expert Susan Constantine.
There was a clip, and I don't have it on me at this second, but it was, I believe, just some B-roll. I think it was Fox 35. It was one of them who got it. And it was of her comforting him, giving her a big hug as he's sitting there looking distraught. Number one, it seems weird. Number two, why is it not he's comforting her? She's the mom who lost her daughter. It all just seemed very bizarre. And again, it was kind of showing a unity there between them of, we're going to try and stick together in this, at least in the phase of when she was missing.
I can't wait to find out more. I feel so sorry, of course, for the child. And, yeah, you know, we don't want to dehumanize her because she's a real person. And this is a crime story, right?
Sure.
Can't help but the fascination of like, what the heck was going on in that household? And, you know, the other thing, too, is when I'm glad you brought that up, too, Tony, is that the comforting part of it. So if mom is on air for the first time at Fox 35, he's in the back stalking her. He's not up next to her, sitting with her. Because remember, she's telling the story about he's the one, first of all, it was them together. So why is he, where's the disjointedness? Why is he in the back? He should have been with her side by side because it was a we story, not an I story.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the flip of that, now he's now in the limelight. People are looking at him and she's trying to pretend like she's comforting him and all the fake crying and no tears and the scratchy tone that he's kind of pushing this fake emotion forward. As long as it reminds me of Alex Murdoch, you know,
yeah.
I mean, between an Alex Murdoch and a, you know, Scott Peterson, it's just getting weirder and weirder, people, the pathology. And that's one of the things that I am just fascinated with. Yeah. What the heck is happening with a sense of truth today?
100%. Let's take a look at some of him. This was from the Channel 9 interview when he did get a chance to talk. And he, in some ways, I almost felt like he was certainly acting, but he was more emotional even than she was. Let's take a look.
Are you, in a sense, blaming yourself?
It's hard not to.
Why?
I dropped her off early. I could have waited longer. She looked okay. She was walking towards the school when I saw her. It was like any other day, so I went on with my day. It's hard not to blame myself.
What has the conversation been with Jen since?
She's been a lot stronger than me. She's been holding it together really well. But it just keeps coming in waves. Just the reality keeps hitting. We don't know where she is. We don't know if she's safe. We're just scared. We just want her home.
I love no red eyes, no tears, but we got the tissue going. What's your take on that
one? Well, the tissue is a nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, Stacey. The tissues are a nice touch. But you know what he mentions, though, and I don't know if we had caught it on there, when they asked him about what she was driving, what was she like when you're driving her to school? And she said, well, you know, she was sleeping most of the way. So see, what they do is they relieve themselves of stress and they fill it with another word. So when they use the word sleeping is another sign that they're dead.
Wow.
Yeah. And considering there was actual cameras that caught that part of her being dead in the vehicle.
Yeah. And so exactly. So when you think about it, the sickness of that is driving around with a dead body in the car where she's sleeping. And then, you know, do I feel somewhat responsible? Here's the other things to what people do. They will sell partial truths just to relieve some of the stress, right, Stacey?
Yeah, absolutely. He was showing maybe there really was some truth to what he was saying. He's been molesting her for God knows how long, you know, we think a couple of years. Maybe there is some remorse within him that this feature of his life, as sick and disgusting as it was, that's now gone.
Yeah. So, you know, most people, even if it's incriminating, they will leak out truth just to relieve some of the cognitive load. That's what they do. So studying liars is fascinating to me. You know, I mean, that's why I'm writing a book on it, because I'm just amazed of the different tactics that liars use. and they become much more skillful. The problem that they can't do, they cannot emote the right expression. They just can't. Because sadness is one that is the most difficult expression to mimic, as hard as you try. You can try to do it through your voice. You can try to make a little few little crocodile tears coming out. You might get yourself hyperventilated so that you seem like you're in panic. But when you can't see the right fired muscles in the face, and they say that they're sad or they're concerned or they're worried, and the face is not firing those muscles, then we know that it's incongruent with the emotion. So I limit or get rid of the words because the face is 74.2% accurate in reading truthfulness above all of the different channels of the body.
Let's watch one more of him before we wrap up our conversation. This is him, you know, trying to show some more sadness, talking about wanting their baby girl back.
She's a sweetheart. She's a very sweet, kind girl. Just please be nice to her. Bring her home if you find her. Tell her that we love her. Wherever she is, I hope she's okay.
I mean, if someone were to come in contact with her and you gave me her diagnoses, would it be easy to approach her without any, like, agitation or anything?
Yeah. Yeah. She's a good kid. She's a good kid.
If you can sum up in one complete sentence, waking up, getting ready to drop her off at school, dropping her off at school, to now speaking to me after talking to the police about her being missing for over 24 hours right now, in one complete sentence, what would that be?
A living nightmare. It's a living nightmare. Day started off like any other. Now I just want to wake up and just get hit with waves of the reality. Just it's setting in. As soon as it got dark last night, we started falling apart because we knew it wasn't going to come to an end. And now we're going on 24 hours and still nothing. Conflicting reports here and there. People say they see this or that. None of it's conclusive and none of it's helpful. We just want a baby girl back.
Felt like there was even more controlling of the narrative there as well, or an attempt to do so.
Yeah. Well, he made a really big mistake when he said was.
Oh, I missed that.
Big mistake. So again, was is in fine finality.
Yeah.
She's gone. Right. So, you know, here's the interesting thing is people will trip up. The more they talk, the more they're going to reveal themselves. So when they don't think that they've convinced the interviewer, they give you more content and they start to build on it until when they're looking at you, if you look like you're convinced.
Yeah.
That's when they start to stop. But he blocks, right? He's looking down. He doesn't make eye contact. He does show just a very little slight movement of the brows, just ever so slight, but not in anything that would have been what we call, it's actually extremely low intensity. Mm-hmm. So and it didn't, not enough to create true sadness. Of course, no tears. I'm looking at his breathing. I'm watching to see how quickly he's breathing, because usually when he's breathing, you would see a deep breath, chest movement, right? You would see this. You would see some movement in his body. Also, you know, there's no gesturing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody is pleading, what are they doing? They're using their hand gestures or rolling them out. The palms are up. They're expressing from their heart. They're worried. Their hands are going to their chest. Like, I'm really worried. I just want my baby back. She's such a good kid. You know, there's the gestures. Those are all, that's called synchronization and timing. And the illustrators are off, which is a hand gestures to signify emotion. Mm-hmm. And then the words don't match. The whole thing is a freaking train wreck and deception. Literally. I mean, I'm writing up a report to hand over to the sheriff's office because I want them to see what we've done as the work just to give up to them.
Yeah.
But there's so much of it, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, let's just pick the poison, because This is literally a case study in itself.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Another thing I've noticed in both of them is after they kind of give their story or little nuggets of their story, there is the eye look. There is the looking at the interviewer. Did they buy that? How are they reacting to that?
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So remember, they're eye blocking because processing. When he's doing that, he's conjuring up the story.
Yep.
Right. He's getting into the analytical. Well, I don't believe in the IX and excuse as garbage. It doesn't even work. But when you're looking down, it is a form of processing, right? Mm-hmm. So some people process down here, and then every now and then he just kind of lifts the lid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the visor. He just kind of lifts it up, and he's trying to look at you to see what any indication in your face. And if that's not working, that goes right back down into that place and does a thing all over again. So, he's not a very good actor.
No.
Is not very good at acting a sad and remorseful stepfather. And then, a warning to moms, single moms, these kind of predators do target single moms, especially those that are working a lot. They need your help. You know, I'm sure that probably is dressed up as maybe a good looking guy. I don't know, but, and he's very helpful and probably doesn't mind dropping the children off at school and it's a home when the kids come home. And those are all warning signs. I mean, it's just as I'm sorry. I wish I could say, hey, you can trust these men into your lives with your young children. The bottom line is you just can't.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't proven themselves when it comes to, the stepfathers being left alone. You just got to be really super careful with that. I know myself when I was single for almost 20 years before I met my love of my life, I had two young children. Never did I have a gentleman ever stay at my home when my children were there. Never. Mm-hmm. And I didn't introduce them unless we went to a park or went somewhere in a public place, but they were never alone with my children.
Yeah.
That was a huge, big no-no. So parents, forgive yourself if you've done it, change it and keep them away. Even though I know you think you have a great guy and probably do, is just don't leave anything up for question or chance. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.